privilege and honor to invite our speaker today. Brett Bymaster is not a stranger to us. The Lord led us to this strange partnership, friendship, where in the middle of the pandemic, Brett and Angie launched this clinic called Healing Grove, and it has really become a prominent organization, a community that really advocates for the poor in our city. And along the way, he scouted my wife, Sandy. So Brett is actually my wife's boss. But it's just been amazing to see what God has done. And I do not know anyone who has a greater passion and conviction for our community, for our city, than Brett. So I realized that after all the things that we've done together, this is actually his first time speaking here on this stage. He had an interview on stage with a video Zoom. So it's just great honor and great joy to bring Brett, to bring God's word today. So let's just welcome him and let's hear what God has to say.
Well, you know, I primarily want to come this morning in a posture of just incredible gratitude for SJCAC, particularly for Ted and Sandy's leadership, as well as, you know, Pastor Doug and Dr. Cheryl's leadership, and the way, you know, this congregation has just fueled the work of God, both locally and internationally. I'm really grateful for the Christian Missionary Alliance. I mean, I think that's just an amazing organization that's doing so much to proclaim good news. I want to recognize that we have two Healing Grove board members in the room. Julie Bonner is our treasurer, and Cliff Chu is our SJCAC board member representative, both for San Jose and Sacramento. I'm really grateful for their leadership in our organization. You know, this story starts a long time ago. Almost 20 years ago, Dr. Cheryl Tu founded the Santa Clara Valley Homeless Health Program. And this is a picture taken in our house back in 2011. And you can see in the back a much younger version of Dr. Cheryl and Dr. Angie. And this is a photo of the Santa Clara Valley Homeless Health Program provider team. You know, this is a government program. It's not a Christian program. But when Cheryl founded this almost 20 years ago, she founded it on the idea that every person is made in the image of God. And regardless of whether you're homeless or wealthy or anywhere in between, you deserve to have healing. And the Valley Homeless Health Program has become a national model in how to care for homeless people. In fact, Dr. Cheryl won the 2017 National Provider, Underserved Provider of the Year for her incredible work in caring for the poorest among us. And I think there's kind of, you can kind of see this movement within SJCAC. Here is a photo from 1 BC. I don't know if you guys can remember this far back, but this is 1 year before COVID, of the Convoy of Hope. You know, and Pastor Ted was invited to be involved, and SJCAC went out and handed out almost 20,000 flyers to invite more than 4,000 people to be a part of this incredible event. And at the same time that was happening, God was calling Dr. Angie and Dr. Cheryl and I to start something new, this thing called Healing Grove Health Center. And we felt a deep sense of urgency. God was like, go, 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 go. And we were like, can we slow down a little bit? And we didn't know why God was calling us to go. In fact, if you look at this next picture, this is a picture of, you can see Dr. Cheryl and I praying like crazy. And let me explain why we're praying. We had made a commitment to acquire a 4,500 square foot facility in the downtown San Jose, Washington community. So this is the poorest census block in Silicon Valley, just south of downtown. And you can see our facility there. It's got concrete on the floor and insulation on the walls. It was a spot that had been sitting empty for almost a decade, dilapidated. And God had called us to get this started right away. And when we're right there in that picture, I had a $150,000 construction bill due, and we were broke. You know, Dr. Cheryl had committed her life to caring for the homeless. Dr. Angie committed her life to caring for, you know, the homeless and the undocumented. I had transitioned out of a tech job to become a pastor. We weren't in a financial situation to do this. And what's incredible is that every step of the way God provided. Just after this picture was taken, a guy who I never met, and I still never met to this day, I don't even know who he is, wrote us a check for $50,000. And one thing after another happened. And, you know, I'm proud to say that today we have this beautiful facility. In fact, here's Ted and Sandy and Dr. Cheryl at our grand opening. You know, Sandy as our board chair at that time, welcoming the community to this just beautiful, if you look at the next picture, this beautiful facility. So that picture was taken exactly where the prior picture was, you know, and now we're blessed to have this place. We have this incredible physician team where we're really able to heal in the name of Jesus. So let me show you. Here you go. So here's Dr. Cheryl, Dr. Angie, and Dr. Tom. And it turns out that there was a reason that God had such a sense of urgency. So here is a slide of our COVID response. So throughout COVID, we have been able to provide more than $6.5 million in financial aid to 1,000 families that were on the verge of homelessness that were impacted by the shutdown, who didn't qualify for unemployment and lost their jobs due to COVID. We were able to test more than 10,000 people for COVID and supported almost 2,400 people that were COVID positive, a 25% positivity rate. We were able to deliver more than 100,000 packages of groceries to about 20,000 families through the United Against the Poverty Pandemic Project. We were able to employ 140 people. We've done more than almost 5,000 patient visits since we began just a few years ago. And, you know, if you ask, well, how do we do that? I think it's fair to say that, you know, if you look at this picture, SJCAC has been the engine to drive this work. So here's a photo of SJCAC's own Michelle Kwong. I think Michelle, I saw Mark here, her dad and mom and dad. There's Mark right there. I don't know if Audrey's here, but her parents are in the crowd. Michelle Kwong, who grew up in this church. You know, you can see her there doing vaccinations. You can see hundreds of people lined up in order to get COVID tested. And that happened, you know, we were able to do that because of you guys, because of your generous outpouring of time, talent, and resources. That's how we were able to achieve this. So this morning, I want to start in Luke chapter 4. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4. It says that Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He goes back to his hometown. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Jesus went to church every week. So just the fact that you're sitting here today, you're being Jesus-like. Good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. You made it. Jesus went to church every week. So he goes up to his hometown church, and then he stood up and read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah that was handed him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free and declare the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I bet that some of you are wishing that my sermon right now was that short. He sits down, does a mic drop, and then says, this has been fulfilled in your presence. This is the only sermon of Jesus that's recorded in the Bible. It's certainly not the only sermon that Jesus gave, but it's the only one that's recorded. And in that, he lays out his mission to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, you know, I wonder if you went and did a survey of Christians in Silicon Valley and asked the question, what is core to your mission as a Jesus follower? There'd be all kinds of things on there, all kinds of things that are important. But do you think that proclaiming good news to the poor would rank at the top? Is that what we do as Christians in Silicon Valley? Now, you know, here's the challenge. I think many of you have probably tried to proclaim good news to the poor, and if you've ever tried to do it, it's really hard. If you've read books like When Helping Hurts, or if you've read books like Toxic Charity by Bob Lupton, you know that oftentimes our attempts to proclaim good news to the poor actually end up being bad news. And I'll tell you, having lived in a poor community for, you know, over 20 years, I've seen one church after another come into my community and make themselves feel good by proclaiming bad news to the poor. And so then the question is, if it is our mission, if we are called by Jesus to proclaim good news to the poor, how do you actually proclaim good news? And the cool thing is, I think Jesus very specifically answers that. Jesus gives us a guide for how to proclaim good news to the poor. So if we turn to Luke chapter 10, this is what Jesus said. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him in every town and place where he's about to go. Here is a missions guide. This is how to proclaim good news to the poor. This is how to be missional the Jesus way. So I want you to pay attention. And I want you to think, when we think about missions, how do we think about doing missions? And I want you to think about how Jesus calls us to do missions. In verse 2, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out his workers into the field. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. So let's go ahead and break this down. So the first part of this in verse 1 is, after this, Jesus appointed. Okay, now stop and think about this. How many people were at the feeding that Jesus did? Jesus fed the 5,000, right? And yet, how many did he send out on mission? 72, right? So Jesus takes the 72 and he sends them out on mission. He appointed them two by two to go out in pairs ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Now, here's what's interesting. Jesus preached in a church. Jesus went to a church every Saturday. And yet Jesus' strategy was not to invite people to church. Jesus' strategy was to go. As evangelical Christians, we've been trained time and time again that our playbook is we invite people to church. And Jesus could have done that. Jesus could have told the disciples, hey, I'm preaching next week at the synagogue in Nazareth. Why don't you guys go gather a big old crowd and we'll have a big crowd and they can sit down and listen to me preach. There is not a single story in the whole New Testament where Jesus said, go invite people to church. Isn't that interesting? Look, what happened in 2019 was that Pastor Ted put SJCAC on a trajectory to go. You know, when you guys went out, if you go to the next slide, if you guys went out and handed out flyers, you were going. And what's interesting is, as you handed out 20,000 flyers, the ask was not to come to church. The ask was to proclaim good news to the poor at Convoy of Hope. And that happened. We proclaimed good news to 4,000 people. So the next part of this instruction in verse 2 is he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send his workers into his harvest field. And then what comes next? Again, a second time. Go. It's not a strategy of come, it's a strategy of go. And specifically, when you go, he says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Now, I don't know if we have any like agricultural people. Has anybody ever spent time with sheep? Okay, like one person. All right, awesome. Two people. There we go. Thank you. If you've ever seen, and you guys have all heard these like a lot of pastors say this. I mean, sheep are really stupid and they're totally defenseless. The fact that God calls us his sheep is quite offensive. In fact, one time I was herding sheep with a farmer, and she said, when you herd them, you can't jump out. Because if you jump out and scare them, sometimes they'll just die. They have like really fragile hearts. You know, and it's like, what's their defense? Like being woolly? I don't know. And so Jesus says, I'm going to send you out like lambs among wolves. In other words, you know, you think about every mission trip manual I've ever read starts out with safety is our highest priority, right? And remember that the disciples were probably teenagers. And so Jesus sends out 72 teenagers, okay, like lambs among wolves. Now, I want you to imagine, say I was Pastor Ted's youth pastor, and I said, hey, SJCAC, I got a plan. We're going to get the whole youth group together. We're going to send them out to towns. I'm not going to go with them. I'm going to send them ahead of me. And safety is not going to be our highest priority. In fact, we're going to send them out like a bunch of stupid sheep, and some of them are probably going to get eaten by wolves. Now, I have a feeling that I would not work for Pastor Ted for very long. And yet, that's exactly what Jesus did. Now, here's a cool story. The last time I was on this stage, there was literally no one that was here. It was November of 2020. It was in the middle of COVID. And Pastor Ted and I did a Q&A session interview thing. And afterwards, I went back in the chair, and Ted and I sat down to chat. And I said, Ted, we have a problem. So this is November of 2020. We, by our estimates, there were 14,000 families in Santa Clara County that were on the verge of homelessness. We're talking about 60,000 people about to become homeless. What they needed was rent assistance because they weren't allowed to work. Their businesses were shut down. And so there was a huge amount of CARES Act money, millions of dollars in CARES Act money that was coming in. So we had this huge pile of money, and we had this huge pile of people that needed the money, but there was a problem. And here's the problem. Because of the just super complex federal legislation that was attached to this, it took about 10 hours of staff time to process one application. It was late November 2020, and the money had to be out the door and spent by December 31st, 2020. So we're down to a month, and we didn't have the staff, we didn't have the facility, and nobody wanted to be a part of the program because they wanted to stay home. It's crazy, but in the middle of an economic and health crisis, the first two things to shut down were the food pantries and the clinics. And so we had to make a decision. So I said, Ted, what if in the next week we pulled together a mission trip where we had people commit thousands of man hours to come to a place and do financial aid? Now, in the middle of a pandemic, is that safe? No. And Ted and Sandy looked at me and said, let's do it. And they committed SJCAC to host this program. And many of you guys participated, you know, Mark and Sandy and Cliff. And here's a photo in the education wing right here of our team processing financial aid applications. We put together a mission trip with 30 staff people working full-time, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., 5 days a week in the middle of a pandemic right here at SJCAC. And in that process, we were able to distribute more than $2.5 million to more than 300 families. And that whole thing came together in less than a week, including a very complex like software infrastructure to be able to support this. And on December 31st, that money was out the door. 300 families, you know, about 1,500 people were prevented from homelessness because of the effort, because of Ted's willingness to say, yes, go, like lambs among wolves. If you look at the next slide, this is a picture of our COVID testing program. And you can see there, SJCAC member Jotham swabbing people and signing them up for COVID tests on the left. And then on the right is Tim Coe standing in front of about 300 COVID samples. And you have to understand, about 100 of those were COVID positive. You know, this isn't safe. And yet, because we did this, we were able, of the 2,500 people that tested positive at Healing Grove for COVID, not a single one died. And the reason was that we caught cases early. We did great management. Dr. Cheryl and Dr. Angie risked their lives to be out there every day treating patients. And the outcome is that 14,000 people did not become homeless. And very few people in our community died as a result of COVID. So if you look next, and you know, so to say the least, SJCAC is doing this and doing it the Jesus way. If you look next, what Jesus says, it's really interesting. When he sends the 72 out, he specifically says, do not take a purse, a bag, or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Now, I can understand the purse and the bag, but making them go barefoot, I feel like it's a little bit mean. But what's interesting, stop and think about, when we plan a mission trip, what do we take with us? And what are our bags full of? Stuff. I mean, we pack our bags 49.99 pounds, right? Or maybe 50.1 and hope that we can get away with it, right? We take a bunch of stuff, and then when we get there, we give away all the stuff, right? Now, Jesus could have done that, because remember that when they needed to pay the temple tax, Jesus told them, go catch a fish, pull the coin out of the fish. So Jesus could have said, okay, 72, go catch a fish, pull a coin out, and then go give it away to the poor. And yet that's not what he did. He tells them specifically, don't take anything with you. In verse 5, it says, when you enter a house, here's what you're supposed to do. First say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, peace will rest on them. If not, it'll return to you. In verse 7, he says, stay. Now, this is interesting. You can go to the next slide. Because before this, he said, go, 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 go. But then when you get there, what are you supposed to do? Stay. In other words, you are on mission. God is sending you somewhere. You need to go to that place. And then when you get there, you need to stay. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go like lambs among wolves. Safety is not your highest priority. In fact, let me kind of emphasize that. I think sometimes we're living in a culture that is just obsessed with safety. You know, this is a safety culture. We're all helicopter parents. And when I look at my son, Nehemiah, right here, I don't want him to die. I want him to be safe. And yet, I think it's fair to say that safety is incompatible with following Jesus. In fact, I would go as far to say that if safety is your highest priority, that safety in this life leads to danger in the next, and that if you don't prioritize safety, if you prioritize Jesus in this life, it leads to safety in the next. In other words, you can't have it both ways. You can't be both safe in this life and safe in the next. You need to choose one. And I think oftentimes as Christians, we get so obsessed with safety that we miss Jesus' call to go out like lambs among wolves. So you're supposed to go out like lambs among wolves, and then when you get there, you're supposed to find the person of peace and then stay. 15 years ago, Dr. Angie and I chose to move into the poorest neighborhood in Silicon Valley. And when we got there, we've just stayed. When we got there, we quickly realized that we had a person of peace. The person of peace is this lady, Maria Marcello, who is kind of in the back of the top right picture there. And Maria Marcello is this incredible leader, this just dynamic leader. She's been in the community for 22 years. She founded Madre y Madre. But Maria Marcello was not afforded education in Mexico because she grew up in abject poverty, hungry and unable to finish school. And what's cool is, in the summer of 2020, Maria recognized that the biggest need was education. In our school district, when things shut down from March until the end of school in 2020, basically no education happened. We didn't go online. We just sat at home and didn't do anything. And so Maria came to Sandy and said, hey, we need to launch a summer education plan. And SJCAC stepped up to the plate and ran it. And you can see, you know, this just amazing team of people that stepped out to lead this program to educate our kids. And that's because we picked the person of peace and then we stayed. This wasn't the kind of thing where SJCAC went out and pushed an education program on people that didn't want it. It rose up out of the community and you got to support this movement led by the person of peace. So in verse 8, it kind of gives a summary. Here's our playbook. When you enter a town and are welcomed, three things: eat what's put in front of you, heal the sick, and then tell them the kingdom of heaven is near. You know, the two most common things that Jesus did was he taught and he healed. And I think if you look at the church in Silicon Valley, we have some pretty good teaching. You know, I listen to Pastor Ted quite a bit on Vimeo, and he's an awesome teacher. We have some great teaching. And yet, how much healing happens? How strategically involved are we in healing? Healing Grove Health Center is the one and only full-scope primary care Christian healthcare organization. In a region of 5 million people, there's one Christian clinic. We need to be engaged in healing the sick. And when we heal the sick, we need to tell them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, if you go to the next slide, it's interesting to compare kind of our way with Jesus' way. You know, our kind of playbook is we don't go, we come. We invite people to church. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, inviting people to church is great. It's just not what Jesus did. When we think about missions, safety is our highest priority. Jesus basically said, go get eaten by wolves. When we go on missions, we take a lot of stuff with us. Jesus commands them to take nothing. When we go on missions, we're in charge, right? We're the leaders. We're the ones with education. We're the ones with resources. Jesus commands us to go and first of all submit to the person of peace. We value independence. Jesus commanded that the first thing we have to do is sit down with the person of the peace and eat what's put in front of you. Oh, but I have allergies. I don't know if that's safe. That kind of food's gross. And if you've ever eaten like menudo or weird stuff, you know, like one time I was on a mission trip and they fed us sheep intestines. And I was like, ooh, how about mac and cheese? But the command is to find the person of peace and then eat what's put in front of you. And even when we think about healthcare, what we think about is handing out medicine, right? That's what doctors do. They write prescriptions. And yet, Jesus' command is to heal the sick. And those two are not the same thing. Once we've healed the sick, you just declare the kingdom of heaven is near. And if you stop and think about it, that's kind of a weird thing to say, right? Jesus didn't say, okay, here's the road to Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jesus said, no. Heal the sick and then declare the kingdom of heaven is near. And if you look a few verses down, the disciples come back and report. And what they report is that Satan has fallen like lightning. If you do this, if you go, get eaten by the wolves, take nothing with you, find the person of peace, eat what's put in front of you, heal the sick, and declare the kingdom of heaven is near, Satan falls like lightning. You know, the reality is that the reason that our missions is ineffective, the reason like we're struggling with evangelism in America today, it's really simple. It's because we're doing the left and not the right. If you do it the Jesus way, Satan will fall like lightning. Satan is falling like lightning. And the reason that Satan is falling like lightning is because of the generosity of people like you guys that are fueling this work, both among Spanish-speaking, Latin American refugees and immigrants here in San Jose and Muslim Afghan refugees in Sacramento. I want to invite you to continue to be a part of this. You know, here's the reality. We're coming into a difficult economic season, and we're already feeling the pain at Healing Grove. We have challenges going forward. And now more than ever, as our ministry is expanding, we're working with thousands here in San Jose and thousands in Sacramento. We need your help. There's two ways or three ways you can get involved. First of all, I want to invite you to come and volunteer and be a part of the work that we're doing. You know, Sandy and Mark and Cliff and all these people and Douglas and Cheryl are great examples of how you can be a part of what God's doing. If you want to volunteer, I want to encourage you to talk to Host Rodriguez. Host is a Healing Grove staff member that's also just joined SJCAC staff and is working on the Spanish ministry here. He's right there in the back. He's our volunteer coordinator. You can recognize him because he has, come here, Jose, he's got the most amazing facial hair I've ever seen. Although Mark Kwong's in the competition, I don't know. So I want to invite you, if you want to get involved, go talk to Host, okay? Secondly, there's two ways that you can partner with us financially. Here's my favorite. You can actually become a patient at Healing Grove. In other words, you can come and have Dr. Angie or Dr. Cheryl be your primary care doctor. For $200 a month, you can get Jesus-centered, Holy Spirit-guided healthcare, okay? Now, we heal like Jesus. Here's the thing. In the modern healthcare system is the most segregated component of modern society. The wealth go to nice places to get wealth care, and the poor go to poor places to get poor care. At Healing Grove, the wealthy and the poor come together. Jesus didn't have a separate ministry for the wealthy people like Nicodemus and the poor people, right? He healed them both together. That's the kingdom of heaven. For $200 a month, you can do that. It works with whatever kind of insurance you have. You get awesome, you know, high-quality primary care. You get the personal cell phone of a physician. You can make a same-day appointment to come into Healing Grove Health Center. And you get a physician that both prays and prescribes. It's an awesome thing. Now, here's the best thing. Every paying member funds two low-income uninsured people to get the same access to care. That's what Jesus-centered healthcare looks like. And I want to encourage you, our biggest need right now is concierge members. We have hundreds of people waiting to get into Healing Grove Health Center. And what we need more than anything is Christians who are willing to step up and make a commitment. Like I said, it works with whatever kind of insurance you have. I'd really encourage you to consider that. If you're not in a position for that, I'd love to encourage you to consider making a donation. You can make a tax-deductible donation. It costs us $70 per month to support one uninsured Spanish-speaking immigrant here in San Jose or Dari-speaking Afghan immigrant in Sacramento, and I'd love to encourage you to step up and make a $70 or $140 commitment to support the work we're doing at Healing Grove Health Center. So volunteer with Jose, become a member, or consider donating. I'm so grateful for the way you guys have fueled our ability to proclaim good news to the poor in the name of Jesus in our community and beyond. So I just want to finish with, some of you may know, New York Times best-selling author and pastor, Francis Chan. Francis is a Healing Grove member. He and his family come to Healing Grove for their primary care. And I'd love to hear you hear Francis Chan's experience at Healing Grove Health Center.
So I first heard about Healing Grove through a friend of mine. And the more I understood the concept, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I think I immediately fell in love with Brett and his vision for it and his passion for Jesus. I mean, here's a guy who, he and his wife, you know, is an engineer and a doctor, and they move into this low-income neighborhood and just want to love on these people, and they live there for years, and then they adopt kids from, you know, overseas, and I'm like, wow, this is everything I love, you know, and they have this dream of why don't we get medical care for the people in this community? They can't afford it, and the care they're getting is subpar, you know, to say the least, and some of them are scared to even go and figure out a system where if we can get people who have means to give a little bit of money and get excellent care, then that will actually support the people in this community. You know, so for every person that signs up, you're actually caring for two people in the community. Now they get excellent, like top of the line healthcare, and so do you. And I'm going, wow, that's an amazing, amazing thing. Why wouldn't every Christian jump on that has the ability to do that? And so I myself even tried it out, was like, okay, let me go get checked out and everything else, and you get the cell phone number of the doctor, and I mean, just how well you're taken care of. And then the thought of, wow, I am helping a couple people in this neighborhood get care, and I'm supporting this ministry that I completely believe in. And when I found out the number of people that get exposed to the gospel here, and the number of people that have fallen in love with Jesus, how everyone is prayed for that comes into this place and they're exposed to Christ, I would just highly encourage believers to pray this through and think through, is God calling me to support them? And in so doing, you get the added benefit of awesome medical care yourself.